There's a quote apparently by ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus that says, "The only thing constant in life is change." And when we think about the world of digital marketing and social media, that quote is no more true today than it was back in ancient Greek times. Does that even make sense? There probably wasn't social media or digital marketing around in that time. But you know what I'm saying, right? The idea is that this world of social media marketing and digital marketing that we play in is constantly changing. And keeping up with the changes can be one of the biggest struggles that we have as practitioners working in this space. So in today's episode of the Engage Video Marketing Podcast, I'm bringing on an expert who makes that her mission to stay at the front of change when it comes to social media and digital marketing. And she actually runs a conference here in Australia that is focused exactly on that, helping people like you and I stay ahead of the state of social media here in 2024 and beyond. So my today is Meg Coffey. Now, if you haven't met Meg before, you need to know Meg. She's an internationally recognized social media and digital marketing strategist, originally hailing from Texas, but now proudly based in Perth, Australia. Meg combines her exceptional work ethic, calculated risk-taking, and remarkable communication skills to lead the way in digital empowerment. She's the founder of the State of Social Conference, Australia's largest social media conference, and she's dedicated to keeping businesses ahead of the curve. So Meg actively contributes to the digital marketing community as a sort of leader, speaker, lecturer, and panelist, and her thought leadership has led to judging industry awards and being recognised as one of Australia's top 50 small business leaders. All right, so Meg knows her stuff. Let's dive into today's episode where we're going to be exploring with Meg the changing face of social media and digital marketing here in 2024 and beyond. Let's get into it. G'day, Meg. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
It's nice to have you join me from the other side of Australia, even though I have a bit of an American accent going on here. So we'll hear a little bit about where you're from and what led you to Australia and the world of social media marketing very soon. But, you know, for people that haven't met you before, you know, maybe you can just tell us who are you and what your passion is.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to join you. So yeah, my name is Meg Coffey and I am based in Perth, all the way over there on the West Coast, the best coast if you ask me though. And I am, yes, I do have an accent. It's a weird accent, people tell me. They can't quite pick it, they say, because I have been here for 20 years. But I am originally from Texas and I came over to Australia as a backpacker. But I was the worst backpacker ever because I landed in Perth and then basically never left. But I love it. I do love Perth. Have you been to Perth? Have you?
I've been a few times. It's a beautiful city. It's just a bloody long way from anywhere else in Australia, right?
Oh, yeah. But that's what makes it so fantastic. I send my mom photos of me on the beach in summer and she's like, "Where is everyone?" And I'm like, "Exactly. That's the point. It's fantastic."
Yeah, awesome. So what led you into the world of social media in the first place?
Well, it was kind of sort of by default. I've always been into computers. I've been, you know, really lucky in that I was, you know, we had a computer back in 1984. That's when computers started, right? And we had, you know, so computers sort of always been a part of my life. And I learned how to code at a very early age. And I've always just sort of been interested in the internet. And so I was building websites. My very first job, my very first like title as a job, I was a webmaster back in the day when those things actually existed. And so I sort of fell into that by default. And then when I was in uni, I was studying public relations and advertising, and my degree is in advertising. And so after I graduated and I went backpacking, I fell into hospitality because as a backpacker, the only job you can get is in hospitality and tourism. And so I was in there sort of by default. Now, when you're in hospitality, anyone that's been in hospitality knows that you have zero budget to work with in marketing. And so I kind of was just in the right place at the right time and was able to apply the skills that I had. And here it was, you know, 2006, 2007, when Facebook, but these, you know, these platforms were, social media was sort of first existing, you know, back MySpace or Friendster, if you really remember. And so hospitality, zero budget, here's a free platform, something brand new. And I was able to figure it out and use it and find a way to actually make it helped me in my job, and I used it in marketing, and I used it to grow awareness for the businesses that I was working with at the time. And then it really just sort of grew from there.
And as you've developed, like, so very early days in social media, what's developed for you as far as like the business that you've built around this? So what do you do and what do you specialize in now?
What I do now is night and day different. I still do tourism and hospitality. So I run an agency called Coffee and Tea. And I do lots of things. I'll be really honest with you. One of the things I do is the agency Coffee and Tea. And we focus on tourism and hospitality because that is still where my heart lies. Plus, it's a lot of fun. We get to deal with people who are on holiday or who are eating and dining. And so we do organic social media for tourism and hospitality businesses across Australia. We focus primarily on the iconic destinations and the iconic properties. So our clients are the bigger ones. They are the ones that are they're the iconic ones. They are the bigger resorts and the destinations, or the ones that are the Hall of Famers and the tourism awards. They're the really good ones. We have really good clients, and they've been with us for a really long time. And they're all about, they're usually all owner operated, and they're all about delivering just the very best experience that they can for their clients. Because that's what I am at heart, is it's all about delivering, no matter what you do, it's all about delivering the absolute best experience you can for your clients and giving them the best outcome, no matter what it is that you do.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun space to work in, I imagine. Hopefully you get to travel to some of these places too, right? Or do you just stay back in the office?
Yeah, no, I tell you, I have been to some of the coolest places and the most remote places in Western Australia, but also all over, because I've been in tourism and hospitality for a long time. And I got to live in New Zealand for a little while. I might have ever stayed my visa here in Australia as a backpacker and had to go. but being in this industry, I have gotten to see and experience just amazing things and travel and go places that I think that the average Australian doesn't. And also definitely things that the average Texan wouldn't. And I've had to learn, Skimpies. Had to learn all about Skimpies on a Wednesday night and driving into a country town. And you definitely don't rock up in your city clothes into a country town on a Wednesday night. That is not going to go well.
Yeah, I love it. So it's this background, this depth of history and social media, across hospitality, but also across many industries, is why I've brought you onto the show here today. Because, we know that since the early days of, Friendster and MySpace and the early days of social media compared to today in 2024, it's massively different. The whole space is massively different. But I'm really interested to hear from you, Meg. Like, what do you see as being the more recent shift? Let's say over the last 3 to 5 years in social media that maybe some businesses are potentially being left behind on.
Oh, Ben, where do I start? I mean, my mind is just, before you even said get left behind on, that's a whole other aspect of it. Look, I think at the moment, there's lots of There's lots of layers to that question that you asked me. I think right now, where we are in 2024 is that there's a lot of manufactured outrage that is happening. And I'm really not okay with it. I think that there's a lot of willful misintent, people who are purposely misunderstanding things, and people who are purposely trying to say things and create outrage for no reason. And I'm not okay with that. And so I think that that is making a lot of businesses hesitant in their social media, hesitant to say things, we don't want to put ourselves out there because we don't want to get yelled at. We don't want to get attacked by these keyboard warriors. Yeah. And I think that is something that's come up in the past couple of years is the rise of these keyboard warriors.
Yeah, this cancel culture thing, right?
That
people are afraid of.
And I am so much of an optimist. I am so much of the person that only sees the good and only sees the positive. And I'm like, yay, technology, we can do great things. Like, I don't think of all the bad and the negative. And that's probably to my own detriment sometimes. But like, it really, it saddens me because I do see all of the really good things that can be achieved through social media. And at the same time, I see businesses who just aren't willing to take the risk. They're too risk averse. They can't, they're not willing to put themselves out there because they don't have the resources to handle it should it go wrong. And it is so easy. I mean, I've gone viral for things, and it's really good that I have thick skin. I can't imagine people who aren't in our industry going viral, how they handle it.
So let me ask you, Meg, for those businesses that are pulling back or, you know, not putting themselves forward enough on social media for fear of some of these things that you talk about, what's potentially at risk for them? Like, what are they missing out on?
Well, if I can't find you on the internet, I can't find you.
Yeah.
Right? So I think you really need to think about this. I think you need to think about your digital footprint. I think you need to think about where you're showing up. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be on every single platform. In fact, you don't need to be on every single platform, but you do need to be where the people are, and you do need to be where your audience is. And so, you know, you Ben, may not like Facebook, but if your audience is on Facebook, then sorry, you need to have a presence on Facebook. Now, create a business page. I'm not saying that you personally have to get in there and interact and be doing things, but your business has to have a page, you know? And you have to have, you know, do you need to be on Blue Sky and Mastodon and all these other ones? No. You know, don't go and diversify so much. Don't spread yourself so thin that you can't manage it all, because you'll abandon it and there's nothing worse. But figure out where your audience is and go there. And I think that, you know, I think one of the other things that has also massively changed is that we used to, you know, and I never recommended this, but I did understand why people would do it. You used to be able to put the same piece of content on the same platform, right? You just sort of like post once, hit and press, and then go out to all the platforms at once. Well, you can't really do that anymore because we have completely different audiences. You know, I think of one of my clients who's a resort, and, you know, our Facebook audience is our, for lack of a better term, our yummy mummies, our, you know, our parents. They want to know what the girls' getaways, and they want to know the school holiday stuff, and they want to know all that kind of stuff. And that's what we put on Facebook. But then if you look at our Instagram audience, that is all the, like, the 25-year-olds. That is all the girls that are doing, you know, Sunday lunches and bottomless brunches, and completely different audience. They could care less about the school holiday specials. And we know that because we have the statistics. We look at the data. And I think that is what is so fantastic about digital, is the data tells us. Like, you know what works and what doesn't. So you put it up and you go, wow, okay, well, that worked. Well, that one definitely didn't work.
Yeah.
And you go from there.
Yeah. So when you think about businesses who are struggling to really know where to focus their time and attention, whether it be decisions on what platforms to be focusing on or what content to be posting on platforms, is there, you know, an easy kind of filter to run through here, that where you go, you know, you've mentioned just really know your audience, right? Is it as simple as that, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I think, yes, it's as simple as, who are your customers, right? And you're going to go, but everybody's my customer, Meg. Everyone is. And I get that. And the old way of doing things with customer personas doesn't work. Because if I were to say to you, let's talk about a British man. He's 75 years old. He's been married a few times, has a couple kids, has multiple houses. You're like, cool, I have a really good idea of what this man is, right? But am I talking to you about King Charles, or am I talking to you about Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Because I just described the same man.
Very different.
Right? Yeah. Very different. So we can't do those customer personas in the same way that we used to. We have to really understand that. So, yes, you have to know who your audience is. And, yes, everyone might be your customer. But I think that, you know, before we even start looking at social media, do you have a website? Straight up. And I'm not saying go spend $50,000 on a website. Go get a one-page landing page that has your street address, your phone number, and your email. Or if you don't have a street address, show me how to get in touch with you, right? Just a one-pager. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right?
But if you don't even have that, then, like, how are we going to find you?
Yeah. It actually constantly surprises me, even today in 2024, when I'm, particularly with local businesses, you know, service businesses, just your, you know, maybe they're home-based, or maybe they're based out of a van or a ute or something like that, who don't have a website, a single-page website. And instantly I'm like, I can't do business with you. I can barely even find you. I don't want to communicate with you just through your Facebook page.
Exactly. And I get it. You are a small handyman, or you are just the local plumber, or you are just whatever. But the thing is what happens if Facebook goes away? How do I find you? You know, as we saw with the Facebook news ban in Australia that happened a couple of years ago, could be happening again. You know, Fit Canada doesn't get news from Facebook. If TikTok is banned in the US, like, it is quite possible that these platforms can be taken away from us. You are building your audience on rented land. Yeah. When you own a website, when you have a website, you own that, right? When you build your database, your email database, you own that. You control that. That can't be taken away from you unless you're doing it illegally, of course. But, you know, I think there's so many people who forget some of these fundamentals that are just so important that, you know, they're actually making it harder on themselves. And in today's world where it's so easy to fake things, I think where we're moving, I mean, this explosion of AI and the fake videos and the deep fakes and everything that's happened, especially, you know, like in the, you know, the sort of first quarter of 2024 has been insane with the deep fakes. But I think that, you know, as we move into sort of this new era, shall we say, of technology, what's real has never been more important. And so if I can't verify that you are a real business and you have those core fundamentals like a website, I'm not going to do business with you.
Yeah, I think this problem that you talk about of social media platforms, you know, or businesses thinking of their social media platforms as being, you know, the replacement or proxy for a website, I think it is as much to blame as the social media platforms themselves, as they've, you know, they're basically trying to encourage you to build your house on rented land, aren't they? You know, they're making your social media profile, there's buttons, call to action buttons, there's, you can have all your address details, you can have your opening hours, you can have all of that stuff that you probably want on your website. So, but the social media platforms are trying to take control of that, right?
Yeah, and you don't have to know any code and you don't have to pay anyone and you can do it. And 15 years ago, that was the way to do it. You know, like if you didn't have your hours on your Facebook listing, you were useless, right? But times are changing and it is so easy to manipulate. Anyone can have a Facebook page now, right? And I think that that's where, you know, that manipulation is where things are changing. But yeah, no, definitely the Facebook and that, and Instagram for that matter, any of these social media channels definitely made it really simple that they could be the directory. I mean, I remember back in the day, you could upload menus to Facebook. You could book accommodation directly. Facebook was your one-stop shop for everything, you know, a bit like the Google business profile is now with all the different features and all the different things. You know, of course, there's commissions and there, you know, there's a financial incentive for these people to be doing it through their platforms. And I get it. You don't have to know anything else other than just log in and do it. But it's not easiest, isn't always the best, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think we're going to see a shift as well, particularly, and this is not at all where I was going to go with the conversation, but I'm going here because it's interesting okay. to me, right? I'm seeing, at least in my use of social media and Facebook in particular, and community groups on Facebook and things, where there seems to be a really big rise in a lot of people being scammed as well by these dodgy businesses that aren't even really, you know, real people behind these Facebook profiles, and they're taking deposits and payments and they're ghosting people. And I think there's going to be a crackdown on that. And that's going to make it so much harder to be a genuine business trying to only use social media to do your business.
10,000%. You know, there's Facebook Marketplace, right? There's a new trend now. So I don't use Facebook Marketplace because of all the scams and all the badness in it. But, you know, if you have ever used it, you would be familiar with the constant question, is this available, right? So now when people make their listings, they'll now go, here's my listing for my water bottle, now available in the listing name, right? So rather than just going water bottle, it'll say water bottle, yes, it's available. because they're so tired of people going, is it available? You know, but yeah, there are. And that's what I was saying. You know, it is a lot harder to make a website. You do have to, especially if you want, say, a .com.au, you have to put in that you have a registered business and that you have a right to be, to have that .au domain. And so again, just because it's easy doesn't make it right, right? That little bit of extra work makes it more legit. I could open up a new Facebook profile while I'm sitting here talking to you. There's no verification needed. There's no ID needed. You know, I'm talking broadly here, but it'd be very, very easy for me to set something up and create a whole new profile and start scamming people. And so yes, I think we are moving towards something where if you are completely an online business, you are completely a social media business, you are going to have a lot more hoops to jump through because the bad people have ruined it for us.
Yeah. Well, let's also acknowledge the reality that these social media platforms are constantly evolving and changing, some of what we've touched on here so far. But, you know, social media from a business perspective used to primarily be about content marketing. It was about create content, share content, and hopefully the right people see that content and do something, move closer towards buying your business. That's traditionally, from a business sense, what social media has been. But when we think about, regardless of platform, how these platforms have shifted to being much more focused on communities, you know, building and curating communities, on sales, being able to shop on Instagram and, you know, TikTok shop and things like that, you know, so you can drive commerce directly through social media now. And then, of course, going further into the idea of the cultural impact of social media in memes, in, you know, making people famous for going viral, you know, like that has such an impact on our actual life offline as well as online. And it's all because of the changing face of social media. But how can businesses adapt and keep in front of all this stuff? You know, how do we just not get overwhelmed?
You can't. You're going to be. You've got to be critically online, you know. It's hard. It is very hard. Social media is a full-time job. And if you want to be good at it, you have to commit to it. It is not something that can be siloed. And I think, you know, if you look at someone like me who's been in it for the whole time, I'm a generalist, right? I can do content creation. I can write captions. Now, I can't do any of this necessarily very well, but I can edit videos. I can take photos. I can do graphics. I can do everything, right? Now, you don't hire me. You hire seven of me, right? Which makes it a lot harder for small businesses because you can't afford seven of me. You can only afford one of me. But that's not how it's done anymore. Like now I got to hire a video producer and I got to write a copywriter and I got to hire a social media community manager, as I should, because these are all individual, very specialized skills because the field has expanded and what we do has expanded. And so you can see why small businesses especially, but why a lot of businesses just go, it's all too hard. How do I keep up? And I want to get into the meme culture because how do I keep up if I'm not chronically online? Now, if you're not chronically online, stay away from memes because it's very easy to go wrong. It's very easy to use the wrong meme or to use the wrong, you don't understand the culture that's behind it. So if you're not chronically online, I just wouldn't be using memes in your business. Plus there's a lot of legal implications and you just stay away from them. It's just easier. But I think for other small businesses, you know, look, yeah, it used to be content marketing and it used to be, you know, you just put the organic was the way, you know, it's definitely not anymore. Organic is still very important. Organic is extremely important, but it is complemented with that paid aspect. I think for businesses now, I mean, you have to have a social media presence, right? But I think where we used to maybe go really far and wide, we're pulling back and we are very much coming into community. So if I come back to that example I told you of my two British men, rather than going, we have these two British men and we're going to advertise to them this way, it's now, okay, so I've got a rock guy and it's a niche community this way, and I've got a really posh guy this way and it's a niche community that way. And so it's creating really niche content specific to them, and we are very community driven. And I think that's where Facebook groups have exploded because it allows that niche community.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting when you lean into community and think how you can curate, build or tap into communities in order to, you know, drive commerce in your business, right? And there are multiple ways to do that. We could do a whole episode on communities, you know, alone on social media. But I think, you know, what you've touched on there is the idea of not thinking of your social media strategy as just like try and do everything that everyone else is doing, but instead just figure out who you are or who your brand is, how you want to show up online, and just do that, but do it consistently with and adding value to people, and just worry about doing that well. You know, don't try and do everything, right?
Yeah, if you do everything, you'll fail. I think what you said there is spot on. You have to show up consistently, and you have to show up authentically. You'll be seen through in a heartbeat if you change. I mean, there are so many people I look at them, I'm like, oh, she's in her gray era now because like the peach era didn't last, right? And so now everything's gray on the feet. And you're like, honey, just be you. That would actually work. Stop trying to copy everybody else's stuff. And if you were just you, it'd stick, it'd work. But it's also that consistency, you know, like I used to tell people, if you have 10 pieces of content, you don't post them all right away, like, and then nothing for the rest of the month. Like, you got to spread it out. You got to show up. You got to show up consistently. You got to put the time in. It's SEO, you know, SEO doesn't happen overnight. SEO happens 6 months from now. And if you're good at it, trust me, oh my God, 6 months from now, you will be praising your SEO person. Right now, you're like, what am I paying for? But if they're good 6 months from now, it's incredible. Sometimes social can be like that, you know, the consistency. And then all of a sudden, it just clicks and you're on your way. But, you know, but these businesses that just show up and they post a couple of things, oh, that didn't work. And it's just, they're all over the place. They don't have a strategic plan. One day it's e-commerce and one day it's that. And that will never work. And of course, they're going to get frustrated and it becomes a cycle, right? They feed the cycle.
I think the other thing to add to that I see time and again is this kind of shiny object syndrome when it comes to social media. This idea of like, oh, there's a cool new thing. I'm going to just go and all in on that, right? Without thinking strategically, you know, and videos, you know, this is the Engage Video Marketing Podcast. Video kind of is that shiny new object for many people, particularly with short form video and reels and TikTok and all of that. But so what do you say to those businesses that are just looking at the next best thing as being like, you know, their new focus?
Stop looking at shiny things. So it's really funny you say that because my whole opening keynote at last year's State of Social was all about shiny thing syndrome. And how, as marketers, we get so distracted. I'm the worst at it. I'm like, ooh, I like the new things, right? And we're so bad at it as marketers. And I get it, but that's what makes us, you know, we're curious people. Good marketers are curious people. Mm. And so, of course, we're going to be intrigued by the new things and we're going to go down the fun little rabbit holes. But it can get us into trouble so fast. Because we get lost, we get distracted from what it is that we're actually trying to do. Like, what am I trying to do with this piece of content? Who am I actually trying to talk to? Who is this for? What am I trying to achieve? What is the goal of this? Yeah, that's amazing that I can turn it, that Sora will make this amazing video of cherry blossoms and this and that. Cool, that's amazing. How is that going to help me sell my widget?
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of us lose. And I do it all the time. I'm just like, oh my God, and I get excited. But it's just like, okay, back to so many market, like I love technology and I love it. But I think, you know, I talk to a lot of students and I'm like, don't study social media in school because by the time you get out, the technology's changed. Go study human behavior, psychology, English, literature, history, any of the humanities. Because if you can understand humans, you can understand marketing and you will be a very good marketer.
Yep.
That's what I say to shiny things.
Yeah. And what I say is what I've said time and time again, and it's on my over my shoulder here, is that focus on the strategy first, right? If you can if you can think strategically about why you're doing it, who you're doing it for, and how that's going to drive tangible results for your business, then the tactic, whether it be video, whether it be a TikTok, whether it be a, you know, LinkedIn newsletter, whatever tactic you're going to apply, if you're thinking strategically, then potentially it is the right tactic, right? Yep. That, you know, the shiny object could be the right thing for you to be focusing on. But don't focus on it because it's the shiny object. Focus on it because it's the tool that's going to get you the result that you want because you're thinking strategically, right?
Yep. And I think a lot of new marketers don't know the difference between strategy and tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is that not being taught in school? Are the older marketers not teaching the younger ones? I don't know. But I think that that has definitely been something that has been lost.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. You know, I've talked recently about specifically in video marketing, there was a Content Marketing Institute report that was done in 2023, just last year, that said that for so many business owners who are using video marketing in their business, there was like overwhelming majority, I think it was 71% of them, are either getting average or below average results with their video marketing. And then they were asked the question of what do they feel they need in order to get better results, and 60% responded saying a video strategy. So, you know, people are just thinking too tactically about what they're doing, and they recognize, I don't have a strategy here, I'm just giving things a crack, right? But we don't need to do that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why I call myself a digital strategist, because at the heart of it, everything I do has to have a strategy. What is the point of what we're doing? Let's explain it. Let's go back to the basics, that who, what, where, when, like actually the core stuff. And then we add in the fun layers, the shiny stuff.
Meg, this has been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed chatting with you as we've really just dissected the state of social media marketing here in 2024. And for those listening, we have had some technical issues as we've recorded this episode. So we've had to end the episode a little bit early here, earlier than we really wanted to with Meg. Could have chatted to her for a lot longer. But I want to encourage you to check out what Meg has to offer. If you're based in Australia or you can travel to Australia, check out the State of Social Conference for 2024 and go and check out coffeeandtea.com, which is Meg's website. You can find all the links to that and everything else we talked about here in the show today at engagevideomarketing.com/301 for episode 301. So thanks again for joining me for this show. I'm Ben Amos from Engage Video Marketing, and it's my goal to help you build confidence as a video strategist. We'll see you in the next episode, hopefully without the technical issues. All right, see you then. Growing a video business can be hard, and I reckon one of the things that makes the game of business even harder is when you're going it alone. This is why I set up the Strategy Board Mastermind program, and I want to invite you to join us. The Strategy Board is a high-impact, collaborative 12-month paid group program specifically for the owners of established video strategy and production businesses who desire further skills, tools, inspiration, and guidance to achieve their goals. It's delivered in a controlled and facilitated discussion around growth and expansion of each business across the duration of the program. The Strategy Board is designed specifically for video strategists or video business owners who are actually in business and doing it and want to just do it better. The program consists of quarterly virtual board meetings, as well as monthly mastermind sessions. And alongside the other members of your board, you get direct coaching and support from me, as together we hit targets and grow your video business into the business that you know it can be. To learn more and apply, go to engagevideomarketing.com/board. Fill out the short form there, and if suitable, I'll invite you to jump on a call directly with me to see how the Strategy Board could be the right fit for your business this year. That link again is engagevideomarketing.com/board.